Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
Mike, remember yesterday's show? Do you remember that show when...
I remember it.
There was the thing from, I think it was a San Francisco TV station that aired the S word twice, and immediately the anchor said, oh, we're very sorry if you happen to hear that profanity.
Yes.
That's absolutely one way to handle profanity on the air. Another good way is to just laugh it off and keep saying that it was bound to happen. Let's go to ESPN's Michael Smith on the show First Take.
That's insane to me. Are you impressed by this?
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, what he's talking about is pretty great. If you've ever seen the Vine video, a Penn State lineman tackles a tree.
Okay.
Literally tackles a tree. It's fantastic.
Like, okay, why would I not be impressed by it? My man tackled a tree.
See, that right there is why guys do stupid.
Oh.
It was bound to happen. It was bound to happen. I'll see y'all next week.
He walks off.
Yeah, they go to spots.
Oh my.
Hey, Nikki, let me know how fast that ends up on YouTube.
Oh,
and Instagram and Twitter.
So what you got to do is watch this guy say the S word, but then watch the guy tackle the tree. Both great videos.
I think that anybody that's going to throw rocks at this guy has to be mindful of the fact that they should never, ever cuss in front of their children. And let's get a line of people that have never done that. Say you got a 10-year-old kid, and let's find the kid that has never had their folks cuss in front of him by accident, okay?
Oh, you know what I love? When I do it now, Robert says, language. It's fantastic.
I love that.
So a couple weeks ago when they announced that they were touring and they put out that Live Japan album, Sammy Hagar said David Lee Roth sucks, essentially.
Yeah.
And now they asked David Lee Roth about that when he was on the red carpet. Is it called the red carpet after an award show?
Still red carpet.
Okay, so he's on the red carpet and they say that when he tours with Van Halen, are they going to sing any songs from Van Hagar?
There's a credibility issue there. Good, bad, or in the middle, you know Roth means it. The other guy doesn't. And that's why it sold half as well. Literally, Midas, Bible, half. Never did better than half. And why would you bring that into the proceedings? This hamburger don't need no helper.
Exactly, Mike. This hamburger don't need
that's
no helper.
That's why his morning show failed.
That's
why it failed.
Hey, you know what? Just like all of us, fired by CBS.
Yeah, but I remember I turned on a show and I said, okay, what's this going to be like? And it was like that. It was just riddles and rhymes. And I said, where is this show?
Yeah, where's
this
something?
This hamburger don't need no helper.
Hey, literally
I will
half.
Give him credit, though. I saw him on the Billboard, the opening of the Billboard Music Awards. He has changed the look. You remember the one we saw in Philadelphia, Rob, where
yes.
he had the spandex and he looked ridiculous.
Yeah, he's sort of modernized it. Yeah,
he's gone AC/DC, and those guys have been around for 70 years because they keep that little, you know, wear some tweed and some leather and some vests, and you can get away with
when
that.
When you listen to Van Halen on the awards, though, didn't it sound like most of the stuff was being played by a guy with a record player backstage?
Yeah,
I mean, there was a lot of overdubbing.
And
you get the same feeling when you watch Charlie Watts drum for the Stones. Like, he's not really doing that.
So he's got a machine back there that's doing it. But I will tell you that performing live, Sammy Hagar still does a better job live.
Yeah, he does.
You know, and I just, there are people that love early Van Halen and people that love Van Hagar at the same time. Stop it, please. Maybe they're trying to do it.
Can't we all just get along, Mike?
That's what I say on Facebook.
There is a comedy group called the Shunky Brothers. They're from Australia. And one of them is named Loz Shunky, L-O-Z, or maybe Lowe's.
And Loz Shunky, that's the guy's
he's
name?
He's Australian. He recorded a fart. And he realized that if he slowed the fart down just a bit, it was a major seventh in B flat with a trill. And so here is what he has done. He gives you the fart and then plays it on musical instruments. I find it beautiful. If I get the quote right, I Oh, sorry about that, Laz. I think the quote was, and it all came out of my arse. So there you go. Every now and then when you're gathering audio, you hear tape of someone that you want to meet. I mean, there's a lot of people out there, but I really want to meet John Jones Jr. of Atlanta. He is a truck driver. He's been out of work for over a year, and he was fighting with his wife, and he got mad, and he was bored. So he decided to drive his truck through his house. Now, here's the deal. Police were called, but there's no law against it, so they couldn't do anything. So they interviewed him after the fact. Don't you want to meet this guy?
I don't know. It's just one of them spur of the moment crazy things. Been out of work for the past year and a half. Needed some work. Why not? It don't pay, but hey, kept me busy. And when the police come out here, I told them I needed air conditioning. They said open the window. Told me it wasn't enough. As you can see, it had a nice breeze. The cop, he jinxed me. He said, man, I can't believe you didn't pop no tires. Next morning, it was leaking. I'm just saying, don't dare me, because I will do it.
Yeah. Chances are, Mike, he lives on Peach Street. But that is John Jones Jr. of Atlanta.
TMOS Classic.
The Mike O'Meara Show is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial genius, monetary magician. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. You see, my friends, Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
2016 wasn't a very good year, was it? So much arguing, so much divisiveness, so many deaths, and of course, Westworld. Even though it's that kind of year, the kind of year you can't wait to say goodbye to, why not try to make the best of what's left of it? You can, with a delicious treat from Kraft that will tickle your taste buds as much as it adds to the sights and sounds of this marvelous Yuletide season. It's intern Dan O'Brien's grandmother's famous Flying O'Brien Better Cheddar Sweater Fritters. They're so tasty you won't even remember why you're in the hospital. Start by making a few drunken calls to high school crushes. After they answer, wait silently on the line until they ask you for a name, thanks to caller ID. Yell the name of a favorite sex position, then slam the phone down. Next, sing the second verse of Adesta Fidelis in Latin, please. Then, while wearing mucklucks and lederhosen, steal a length of abandoned clothesline from your neighbor's backyard and use it to restrain the family yak. Coat the yak liberally with Philadelphia brand cream cheese, making sure that no cream cheese enter the yak's eyes, ears, or
Well then.
You gotta be careful.
Next, take 3 sticks of Land O'Lakes butter, unsoftened, and shove it into the yak's eyes, ears, and ears. Cover the yak with a generous dusting of red pepper flakes from the tabletop dispensers of an abandoned pizzeria. Use as much as you like, but don't overdo it, you asshole.
Nice.
Now begin your roux by melting 6 children-sized handfuls of Smithfield brand lard in an inverted Chinese gong suspended over the heat of the smoldering glance of a Cincinnati prostitute. Add to the roux 3 cups of Pillsbury ultra-bleached alt-right flour. And whisk unceasingly with either a whisk, a fork, or an oboe. Season the roux with salt, pepper, and oyster ejaculate.
Oh, boy.
When you begin to smell love in the air, you're nearly ready to move on to the next step. But not yet. First, you must remove the aglets from all of the shoelaces in your house. Note, an aglet is the metal or plastic tube fixed tightly around each end of a shoelace to prevent fraying. Gather all of your aglets in a nearly empty antique prescription bottle, along with 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 dram of Kraft mayonnaise, 1/10 of a liter of hourglass sand, and 1 Skittle. Not an orange one, please. Nah. Shake the bottle until the rattling stops and the stigmata begins. Crudely bandage yourself. Then, pour 1 can of crushed tomatoes into a well-seasoned cast iron DVD player and hit play. If no picture appears, hit the menu button and select tomato. Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
It's like an acid trip for comedy right here. Open 1 bag of pizza-flavored combo snacks and pour them into an inverted purple velvet star-embroidered wizard's hat. Using your pneumatic drill, drill out all the cheese from their pretzel prisons and shape into a sculpture of noted rock and roller Tom Petty. Pony is loving this, Rob. Here's a hint. Don't forget the teeth. I love Pony's, like, dying in this. Oscar doesn't even know what island he's on right now. Put the reserved pretzel cylinders in a food processor and grind into a fine dust. Using the dough hook attachment, check and see if you'd enjoy serving time in prison. How you doing, Oscar?
Oh, I'm just coordinating our next bit.
Rinse the dough hook thoroughly. Hot water, please. Then add to the food processor work bowl. It continues.
Yes.
2 pounds of 4-pound canned hams, 1 tablespoon and 1/3 of aged aquarium water, 1/3 of a caper, 2 raisins, and 1 9-volt battery. 3 cupcake sprinkles, and a dove. Pulse to combine until the dove stops making that bullshit dove noise. Bird of peace, my ass. How about some peace and quiet? Am I right, ladies? Get your money-saving live dove coupons on the current issue of Piece of Shit Birds Monthly on newsstands now. Tap your keg of camel milk and prepare to dispense. Get 1 impossibly tight form-fitting Christmas sweater from intern Dan O'Brien and stretch it as far as it can go. Just like when Dan wears it, it should be nearly transparent.
Strain the roux slowly through the sweater, followed by 6 quarts and 1 gallon of the camel milk, making sure to capture all of the Christmas essence from Dan's scratchy woolen sweater. Grate 6/19 of a cup of ultra-sharp, almost tear-inducing cheddar cheese by rhythmically crushing it with your toes. It's okay if a nail sloughs off. Christmas is a time for family. Combine all the ingredients in a leather globe and mix thoroughly by holding it on your lap while you sit on an unbalanced washing machine. Pour all this schlock into a badly restored antique brass birdcage. Garnish with dates, scallions, 3 Pokemons, and a hateful possum. Then cover the top with
Kraft Baby Marshmallows.
Melt the topping with a blowtorch powered by the hate of your community. Plate with an air of entitled indifference and serve with fake crab meat, anti-Semitic beef jerky, candied hot dogs, caramelized chocolate-covered caramel, peppermint olives, barbecued cheesecake, 2 wine bottles filled with Taster's Choice crystals, and an excitable boy named Hector. This is a challenge for me.
I know.
Immediately refrigerate the leftovers, then light the fridge on fire and throw the refrigerator out of a slowly moving Concorde aircraft into an ocean or bay. No lakes, please. Then sit and think about Christmas and all the festive memories you'll never get to have because you're an asshole. Another holiday recipe from Kraft.
TMOS Classic.
Would you consider yourself a Thanksgiving dominator?
Dominator? No. And
you always talk about that you do this and you do this
I used to do the Thanksgiving thing, and it's gotten so now we all gather at my Uncle George's house, and we all bring something.
And it's not, that's if people want to know, that's George Bailey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Big stack of bricks.
Rob goes to George Bailey's. That's right.
He got himself a huge stack of bricks in Centerville.
Oh, nice.
There'll be about 60 of us. There'll be some extended. We'll have 3 turkeys and a ham. Now
I only got tense one particular Thanksgiving looked across. The one where you looked across the table and said, "Why, George, you're worth more dead than alive."
Oh, and also when Uncle Billy lost the deed to the house and we all had to go stand in the cold.
What a stupid ass.
Uncle Billy.
We hate Uncle Billy. If you ever watch if you watch It's a Wonderful Life the day after the holiday next week,
yes.
Remember that Rob and I cuss Uncle Billy, the stupid stick that loses all the money for the Bedford Falls building and loan.
I have been in a room with my father when Uncle Billy gives the paper to Mr. Potter and it has the money in it, and my father stands up and says, "God damn it."
During the greatest
holiday picture of them all.
Why did he lose? How did he lose all
because
the money?
Because Uncle Billy
watch it.
Was that a Ponzi scheme?
You watched It's a Wonderful Life?
It was a Ponzi scheme.
No, I've never seen it.
It'll be right, on Channel 4.
I see it once in a while, and I'm like, here we go.
George Bailey has a brother that goes off to war, Jaime Bailey. What's his name? What's the brother's? I bet you don't know the brother's name.
George Bailey.
You don't know it.
George Bailey is Jimmy Stewart.
No, it's George Bailey's, but
Jimmy
who's
Stewart?
The brother that's the war hero that Uncle Billy's all excited about? That's why Uncle Billy is all happy, because he won the Medal of Honor.
It's Clem. Clem Bailey? No, is it Pony?
No, you don't know. You don't know.
It'll come to me. It's Tony,
it's
isn't
killing
it?
You. Not Tony Bailey.
Isn't it Tony Bailey? It's Bill.
No,
it's Bill
Beetle.
Bailey.
It's Beetle. It's Beetle Bailey. Look at Rofo now. Hey, welcome to. Thanks for waking up from your slumber, Rofo.
He was enjoying the show. It's Harry Bailey, Mike.
Harry, you got it.
Yeah, I had to work it backwards in my head.
Harry Bailey.
Yeah.
So what happens, Oscar, is that Harry Bailey wins the Medal of Honor, and Uncle Billy is charged with going to the bank and making the deposit for the building and loan, which incidentally doesn't make a lot of sense, Rob, because if it's a bank anyway, a building and loan, why aren't they not just keeping the money there?
They wouldn't have to redeposit it unless he's going to a different branch.
Remember, at that point, I think Potter had bought half interest in it. Remember,
is that
because
right?
He had it almost. Remember, they had almost failed, and Potter was leaning on them really hard.
So Uncle Billy goes.
You really can't go to that movie and start,
breaking down the finances.
Yeah, breaking out the financial practices.
Oh, I can. I can.
I know you can.
So Uncle Billy is charged with taking the deposit to the
bank, right?
And
it's a stack of cash.
Isn't it $8,000?
I believe it is.
Oh man,
it's $8,000, and he's got it wrapped up in the newspaper. Because that's what stupid people do. It's not in one of those little vinyl pouches.
Yeah.
Because Uncle Billy's a stick, Oscar.
Yeah, and not only
that's
that,
what
not only is he
damn Uncle Billy
a functional idiot, he also lives in a house with a squirrel and a crow. Oh, and that is never really emphasized enough.
Right, that he probably has sex with.
Yeah. So he's at home raping the crow, Mike.
That's what he does. Okay, so why would
And incidentally, wink, wink, let's listen to who gave the biggest laugh at that joke. Our friend with the sugar gliders.
I wonder how one of them died.
Yeah, he needed water and a Band-Aid.
Uncle Billy is in a really, really, really good mood because Harry Bailey won the Medal of Honor and he's coming back from the war, and he's gloating to the evil Mr. Potter, who controls everything. And he comes over, and he's got his $8,000 in wrapped up in the newspaper, and because he's stupid, he hands the newspaper to Mr. Potter to show him the fact that Harry Bailey won, and he walks away because Uncle Billy's completely stupid, and he almost ruins
everything. Wait a
second.
And you should know...
Why didn't Mr. Potter...
Because he's inherently evil.
He didn't call him on a cell and say, hey...
Oh, God, no, no. Mr. Potter discovers... Mr. Potter discovers the money inside the newspaper, and that would be the honorable thing and the decent thing to do to let, charred Billy
know
what's going on.
I believe, actually, that is the scene, or at least one of the scenes, where he says, shove me up, because he goes back into his office, finds the money...
And he peers out the door.
That's right, and he sees Uncle Billy. And Uncle Billy is also one of those guys that ties strings around his fingers.
No.
And did you notice in the movie when they show his hands a lack of hygiene? It looks
horrible.
Uncle Billy might have wiping issues.
So the AK was the AK
he finds the money. Wait, let me finish. He finds the money in the newspaper and he opens it up and there's the $8,000. Then he asks his little assistant to push him up to peer through the door.
Up,
and he looks out into the bank lobby, and of course Uncle Billy is again. Which he just does constantly.
Wow.
Not doing it, obviously, but he's rubbing himself inside his coat.
Well, the thing is with so many people that are feeble-minded, Mike, he spends most of the movie with an erection.
Yeah.
Like Dopey in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. A lot of people don't know that Dopey was a really chronic writer.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's really, I mean, it's constant.
Is.
It's constant with Uncle Billy.
What happens with the money? Yeah.
Do you really want to know the ending?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, the movie just came out in 1946. So,
right.
They eventually, the townspeople, find out that George is in trouble. And even though
you're skipping way ahead. Let me get to the bad part.
Oh, you really want to do? Okay, good.
Jerk.
Uncle Billy starts to panic because he can't find the money, and he goes back and he has to tell George.
He panics so badly, Mike, that he can no longer sustain his
And he soils himself, and he goes back
and others
to the building and loan. And George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, just beats him almost to within an inch of his
life. They fought?
Almost beats him clean to death.
Because what they keep at the building and loan is they keep actually a picture of the father who founded the building and loan, and that's a reminder of where they came from. But he also keeps a sock full of BBs.
Yeah.
And he uses the sweat sock full of BBs to beat the
brothers.
That's the first thing he does when he's hitting him in the torso. No, he's a distant relative.
You can beat up a distant relative.
Right.
But the thing is, you know the scene in Casino where they break the man's hand?
George Bailey
does that to Uncle Billy.
Man.
He puts his hand out and he said, okay, which hand do you count the money with? And Uncle Billy goes, I don't know, George. I don't know what's happening. And then George smashes his hand with a hammer and breaking his hand, kills the
crow. No mercy.
You make me pop.
No mercy.
Make me pop your eye out for that piece of shit. It's what he says.
That's right. George Bailey looks at Uncle Billy and says, you gave the money to Charlie M? You gave the money to Charlie M?
Is that Mr. Potter?
George Bailey.
Mr. Potter is back. No one knows that Mr. Potter has the money.
Right.
So Uncle Billy.
So he's like Robert De Niro in this thing.
Very similar. Very similar. At this point, Uncle Billy is incoherent because he's in such agony.
Right.
But George Bailey leaves him in the office. And then when he goes out, suddenly people find out that they have lost the money at the building and loan. And there's a run on the bank because Mr. Potter calls in the fact that they don't have any assets. At this point, isn't George's father dead? So I think
you had a slight hiccup there. The run on the bank was earlier. That was the Great Depression on the day of his wedding. What happened is when George Bailey Bailey found out that they lost all the money, he went to try to cash in his life insurance, and that's when he walked into, I believe he was in an opium den, and he went and he found
like
Mr. Potter.
Like in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, and he went into a Mr. Potter's opium den, and Mr. Potter's there in his wheelchair, but also a silk robe, and he says, George, you're worth more dead than alive, and George goes to kill himself.
Really?
He's going
to
jump
George wants
off a
to kill himself, but
now,
George is inconsolable.
I know you guys are making
and
this
also,
up.
You
George
know,
is totally inconsolable.
Just when a bad day, you think it can't get any worse, he goes home, it's Christmas Eve, and he goes upstairs to find his wife, Donna Reed, and she's f***ing Bert the cab driver.
Yeah, it's terrible.
This is not
really,
the same.
I'm sorry,
really terrible.
It's Bert the cop and Ernie the cab driver. It's the devil's threesome.
I've never heard anything about this.
Well, it's implied because it's an older movie. They don't actually show penetration, but you know what's going on.
And then he is so distraught by this that he goes out and he wrecks his car. Smashes his car into a tree, and then he walks to this bridge.
Right.
And as he gets to the bridge, it's starting to snow, and he doesn't have any options, so he decides to throw himself into the river and commit suicide.
Right.
After
this,
when he plunges into
the
river,
Jeff Buckley.
He's rescued by a clown.
That's right.
He is rescued by who goes, "Oh, Joseph, Joseph,
honk, honk.
Oh, Joseph," and that's and so Clarence takes him back into this little shed, which I never really understood why they have a shed that's next to a bridge where it's snowing and there's some other guy in there doing God knows what.
I think we know
ice fishing.
Yeah,
no, he's not.
No ice fishing. Oh. And at
he's
this
peddling
point,
meth, Mike.
Yeah, the clown says, "I'm your guardian angel,"
uh-huh.
And that's when. And at that point, you're familiar. We hate to reference De Niro movies again, but you remember the scene where Billy Batts comes back from prison and Joe Pesci comes in. Then George really opens up on Clarence the clown,
right?
And but they don't kill him. They don't kill him. He actually follows him around,
that's
and they
good.
Go to place they go to? I think it's a Tilted Kilt.
Yeah,
that they
it
ended
is the
up,
Tilted Kilt. It's the first one.
It's the
flagship
bar they go
restaurant,
to,
right?
The Tilted Kilt. George goes in there, gets into a fight, goes downtown, gets into another fight, and it goes on
well,
and on.
Well, to
and
be
on.
Fair, Mike, when they were in the Tilted Kilt, George, who had had a couple drinks, couldn't keep his hands to himself and was all over the slutty waitresses.
Really?
All over.
Happens
yeah.
all
and,
the
well,
time.
I thought he was
he
over
had
that.
To wash his hands.
And that's when the town prostitute, Violet Bick,
oh, yes. finally the happy
in?
Ending. When does the town get together and help out?
Oh, okay, so what happens is they leave the bar with Clarence the Clown,
George,
and George Bailey, who is just covered in vomit.
Yeah,
because
and is the hooker
very,
still
very
with
drunk.
Them?
What
is the hooker still with them, or do they leave Violet
no,
at the bar?
No, she's taking care of the men at the Tilted Kilt.
Oh, that's right, three at a time. That's
There's
her
a
motto.
Line.
I'm trying to remember when it all gets better for George.
I think, Mike, actually, I think that's the end of the movie.
No, you said that the town rallies and helps them.
No, that's the director's cut.
So one of the things, they have a lot of shots. This has you'll like this, Oscar, because it's got a space component, too.
Oh,
I forgot about this
shot.
Part.
There's an asteroid up there that's kind of, and it's the technology is not there that we have with CGI. The asteroid is kind of it looks like a black screen where they're just pressing kind of a button to make it look like a light.
Right.
Gotcha. That's the asteroid that's hurtling towards Earth. And the asteroids talk, don't they, Rob?
They do. They do, yeah. And they talk about how much they hate Earthlings and that they're going to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
This was exciting.
I didn't
in a
know
way,
it was a sci-fi.
No, it is way ahead of its time to incorporate sci-fi and Christmas.
Interesting.
It's one of the first science fiction Christmas movies.
Pretty cool.
And they figure out that the only way they're going to be able to prevent this asteroid is quite a simple and almost inconceivably easy method.
Inconceivable!
They ring a bell.
Wasn't the timeline
They ring a
for...
bell to avoid the asteroid from plunging into the Earth's
atmosphere. Wait. I thought the timeline... This isn't the only holiday alien movie. I thought the timeline for Earth Girls Are Easy was during the holidays.
No,
but,
don't get into another movie.
But this is earlier. This is the first one.
Oh, okay.
And what they do is while they're ringing the bells, they're actually able to land a probe on the comet.
Ah.
Which was this
no
is the
Bruce
best
Willis,
part of the
though,
movie.
He wasn't even born then.
That's right.
It wasn't that big a deal. So they save the Earth. Clarence brings George back to his house where, miraculously, the town people have had a yard sale.
They have.
And in the snow, which is very, very rare.
They sold all of George Bailey's back issues of Playboy, and they've used the money. And this is my favorite part. And this is one of the closing scenes. They go into the living room, and everyone is gathered. You know what they're doing?
What?
They're
Do you have Auld Lang Syne, Rob? Do you have Auld Lang
Syne? I'll bring it up. They're waterboarding Mr. Potter.
Right.
Which because he stole the money?
He stole a lot of money from a lot of people.
Right.
But they're waterboarding him, and he doesn't have the use of his legs. So it's an even more heinous crime when that happens.
It's horrible.
Now, Violet Bick, meanwhile, has turned many, many tricks over at the Tilted Kilt, and she collects her money, and she brings it back to George's house. Mm. And at that point, all the kids are there. Mm. Wonderful Donna Reed, who plays Jimmy Stewart's wife, who is just Trey Box.
Yeah, and full frontal is there in this movie.
She's topless. She's not full frontal. She's wearing an apron. And she's wearing an apron.
I just thought she needed to shave.
Right. And at that point, Harry Bailey comes back from the war, sees Donna Reed, sees that she's topless, grabs a little feely-feely, and looks at George and goes, "You're the richest guy in town."
Honk.
And then Zuzu, who is, I don't understand how that name came up. I think she adopted from perhaps a third world country?
No, she was made in a test tube. At Bedford Falls Laboratories.
Zuzu. I thought she was from North Korea.
She might have been made in a North Korean test tube.
Mm. Kim Jong Zuzu says to her father, "Look, father, teacher says every time a bell rings, an asteroid is prevented from entering the Earth's atmosphere."
Exactly. That's where that comes from. I didn't know that movie.
Saying.
That's where that came from.
That's where it came from.
I thought that was Miracle on 34th Street.
No, it's a different
one. I would
one.
Recommend... Oh, that's a totally different one. That's you want to talk about a crowd scene.
Mm. Yeah.
That is really, really nasty. Like Swingers 3. But the fact is, that is the story of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And I would urge you to watch this with the rest of the
family. I can't wait.
We might have missed a few parts in there.
I don't think so. I know we got some of the timeline, but I think we corrected it.
Have they brought it to Technicolor life?
They have colorized it.
I think they colorized it at one point.
They did.
And then, of course, at the very end, Mr. Potter's lifeless body is dragged with hooks through Bedford Falls, leaving a bloody trail.
They kill him.
Where it remains to this very day, because what a lot of people don't know, it's a true story.
Mm. Yeah, Bedford Falls is actually, they changed the name in the movie. Bedford Falls is actually Chappaqua, New York. So... That's exactly what it is. That's if you want to see where that happens. That's a
so Oscar. You know, it's a good rental.
You can't wait.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I don't know why. That if you can.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.